everybody you ran into could understand and speak the same language.
That'd be unified. It would be harmonious. I mean, no language barrier at all. And what that would mean, seemingly, if you just read that at a glance or just read it and just pass by just reading, then we would all think that, look, if there's no language barrier and everybody speaks one language with one speech, on the surface it looks like that people could come together more easily. That people would work together more easily, more efficiently. And they could achieve common goals. It would be common good. We'd have common ground. So when you read chapters 11, verses 1 through 4, if you're not careful, you'll come away with, like, that's a good thing. And it is a good thing in some cases. But the rest of our story here in Genesis chapter 11 shows where Nimrod, remember Nimrod from last week, Nimrod, he rose up to fame and fortune, and he was a tyrant, he was a bully, he wanted to take over, he wanted to lead, he wanted to be in charge, he wanted to call the shots. And so he's ruling, he wanted to be the first king, it's all about him. And so the rest of the story tells us that a man by the name of Nimrod, who self-appointed himself to be the king of the kingdom, and he used, don't miss it, but he used this common language. He used this one speech. He used this unified language not for something good, but he used it for something evil. So keep that in mind, because sometimes when you read Scripture, it looks like it's saying something that maybe it's not saying. It is saying one speech in one language, and we as common thinkers and we as deep thinkers can think like that could be a good thing, and it could be. But here's a guy that used a good thing for a bad thing. A lot of people use good things for bad things, and they blame it on God, they blame it on the Bible, or they blame it on something. And so just as a reminder, God told Adam, way back in Genesis chapter 1, we're in chapter 11, but God told Adam way back there, when he created man, he told Adam this very simple thing: be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. He told Adam and Eve that, look, here's your mission, here's my purpose for you, here's where I want you to do. And so God's plan and purpose and position in Genesis chapter 1 has not changed in chapter 11. It was for man to scatter across the globe. It was for man to go and populate the earth and populate the whole world, be scattered, multiply, replenish, refill the earth. And here in chapter number 11, verse 2, we are talking about the descendants. This is post-flood. The flood's already taken place. Noah, his wife, his three boys, their three wives, are now off the boat. And in chapters 10 and 11, we're talking about their descendants, the descendants of Ham, Shem, and Japheth. And now that same thing has been told to them: be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth. And so we have in chapter 11, verse 2, that very same thing. And it says, and it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. So these descendants of Noah, his sons, they migrated east after the flood and to a fertile plain of Shinar, and they dwelt there, they settled there, they stayed there. Now, just for your information, dwelling, settling, staying in Shinar was an act of disobedience from the holy God Creator that had told them to scatter. It was God's plan and purpose for man to scatter. And Nimrod comes up and he uses this one language, this one speech, to have one voice and to simply say, hey, we'll just settle here. We'll just stay here. We'll just dwell here. So it's an act of disobedience that seems rather small. Not murder. It's not brutality. It seems rather small. So we'll just stay here. And then in verse 4, the last part, it says, we'll stay here lest we be scattered abroad. We'll just stay here. We'll do our own thing. We'll have our own language. We'll have one voice. We'll understand one speech. And we'll just stay here when God has already told them that they're to scatter across the globe. Just a small act of disobedience, seemingly. So God said, scatter. These descendants of Noah said, no way. God says, scatter. And they're going like, not on your life. We'll just settle down. We'll stay right here. Nimrod, he wanted to be king of the kingdom. And so Nimrod wanted to be a centralized, consolidated government in one place, one people, one voice, one language, with one authority, not God, but Nimrod. And so now you're kind of seeing like he used something good in an evil way. Now, so far, the whole earth has one language, verse 1, one speech, verse 1. So they have one thought, one form of communication. We have here in chapter 11. And you know, communication is such a wonderful thing. It's such a key thing in our lives. No matter if we're young or old, no matter where we're at, communication allows us to converse with others, to understand others, to be informed by understanding through conversation, to be warned by a simple thing called language, speech, and conversation, to cooperate together by being told and understand how to communicate with one. And so there's a lot of advantages, a lot of benefits of conversation and communication. But here Nimrod is trying to streamline it and trying to decide what the talking points will be, what will be said, what we will do, what you will hear. And so when evil, dishonest, biased, powerful people rule, are in charge, controls communication, and uses it for their good, their purpose, their agenda, it controls, don't miss it, but that way it controls the views of society. And that's exactly what Nimrod's doing here. One speech, one language. It sounds so good. It sounds so it sounds like so harmonious, so unified. It just sounds like it's the right thing to do. But when you hear, but when you understand who Nimrod is and what his goals are, and what his what he's doing to set himself up, then he's allowing it to simply stick like that, and it's a disobedience to God. Be scattered. We'll just stay here, and that's what we have so far in these few verses. A lot of those tactics that Nimrod's doing, a lot of the things that we're reading about, and I'm explaining to you this morning, seemingly are used a lot in 2023, politically. Seemingly, it's kind of used in 2023 religiously. Seemingly, in 2023, it's used culturally. So we have people that seem to have one voice, one opinion, a dogmatic view on certain things. And if you don't like it, that's all you hear. And if you say something about it, then you're kind of like blackmailed or blackballed. And so we see that here taking place, and it's seemingly like we probably see it a little bit in our day as well. Look at verse 3. Get the speech and language out of the way. Look at verse 3. And they said one to another in the same speech, everybody understood, same language. Let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime they had for mortar. The Babylonians served a god, don't miss it, they served a god by the name of Marduk. M-A-R-D-U-K, Marduk. That was their god. And so they're building this tower, this city, this tower that will reach into the heavens. And the Babylonian god was Marduk, who they worship, and their view of Marduk was the god of creation, the god of water, the god of agriculture, the god of justice, the god of medicine, and the god of magic. That was their god, Marduk. That's who these Nimrod and these Babylonians with one speech, one voice, one language, they simply worshiped that god. Bible scholars tell us that these bricks, mentioned in verse 3, Bible scholars and historians tell us that these bricks were handmade, and the name of Marduk was inscribed in each brick, was embedded in each brick, was branded in each brick. Now, this was a major undertaking. Hard labor, obstacles, challenges, difficulties, a very intense endeavor. Let us make brick. And let's burn them thoroughly. So they're trying to do something that's outside the boundary. They're trying to say, do something that's creative. They're trying to do something that will simply show them that this God that they serve, that man, they want God, that God to be praised and that God's name to be known and that God's name to be posted. And then they go on to say in verse 4, go, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach into heaven. And so they're bent on doing this great work, this mighty tower. We talked about it last week, when the tower, on the top of that tower was an altar, and that altar would be built into the skies. And that altar would be an altar for their god Marduk. Build a city with a tower to reach into heaven. Someone say, Brother Don, are these people crazy? Are they nuts? I mean, are they stupid? I mean, do they really think for a minute they could build something into the heavens? Do they really believe that? Were they uneducated? Were those people unlettered? Were they unskilled people thinking that? No, we saw last week where they wasn't. We saw last week where these people, man, they're smart. These people are craftsmen. These people are intelligent. These people are brilliant. They built cities. They built complicated music instruments in chapter 10. They built, they got iron out of the ground, and they began to take different types of metals and iron and things that came out of the ground, and they began to use that to build cities and instruments. And all these people were brilliant. And their goal here in chapter 11 is to build a tower, a temple of worship to their god, Marduk. Nimrod's goal here in chapter 10 and verse 11, his goal is to build a city with a tower that would be a monument to themselves, showcasing their greatness. They wanted whoever saw that. They wanted the populations that followed. They wanted the people that would come behind them. They wanted people to see this work as a monument of extreme beauty, extreme reverence to the God of heaven, their God, Marduk. They wanted to show their greatness. They wanted to show people that say, man, that took a lot of work. That took a lot of thought. That took a lot of skill. That took a lot of craftsmen. That took a lot of labor. And they wanted to do that, it says right there, for their greatness. It was going to be a status symbol for Nimrod and the Babylonians. It was going to be a place that was the epitome of power. It was going to be simply that something that people couldn't come there without looking at, without staring at, without wanting to see it, to come there on purpose. It was going to be something that was going to be a tower built into a heavenly city that they could reach heaven. So it's pretty amazing what we have happening here. And so in verse 3, they said one to another, let us make brick and you slime for mortar, and let us build that city and that tower. So they began building this high rise with their own hands. They began building this tower and this city in the heavens with their own wisdom, using their own ingenuity. They don't consult God. Their God's no God. And so they're just using their own thinking, their own wisdom, their own speech, their own language. They're following their leader, Nimrod, who's the key. And so what they did, don't miss it, but what they did as they begin to build the city is they simply enthroned their own wisdom, their own goals, their own dreams, their own understanding. Proverbs 3:5 has always been a lot of people's Bible verse, their life verse. My two children have always loved this verse, and they claim it as their verse. Proverbs 3:5, you know, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Hold it, don't miss it. And lean not unto thine own understanding. You see, Nimrod and his crew are thinking for themselves. They're leaving God out of it. They're not consulting God. They're simply saying, hey, we're going to use our own wisdom. We're smarter than God. We're smarter than anybody. We're smarter than this group. They're going to follow us with one voice and one speech and one language. And we're going to build this tower. We're going to make a name for ourselves. We're going to be somebody. We're going to be worldwide famous. We're going to be like, have this monument that no one else has ever done or could ever match. And they're talking about that. And so they enthroned their own wisdom, their own understanding to build this tower, to build this city, which would reach up into the heavens. In verse 3 and 4, you could read there, but the personal pronouns, you don't hear much about pronouns today. They're changing all the pronouns. But here we see in verse 3 and 4, six times they use the personal pronouns. Let us, may we, they. Six different times it talks about themselves, who has the wisdom. Themselves is making the decision. Themselves is going to do what themselves they're going to do. A religion with man at the center and with man calling the shots. That's what we have here. Do-it-yourself religion. That's what we have here. We have one man calling the shots, one man showing his sketch for his dream and for his power and for his namesake. That's what we have. Something else is kind of interesting in verse 3 and 4 that we ought to bring to our attention this morning. In Genesis 1:26, let me just quote what it says, Genesis 1:26. God said, remember, you'll remember this, God said, let us make man. We all know that verse, let us make man in our image, to our likeness. In Genesis 1:26, it says, let us make man. Well, these Babylonian builders, these Babylonian tyrants, in verse 3, they said, let us make brick. In verse 4, they said, let us build a city. Let us make a name. They're kind of like putting man's word with God's word. They're kind of intermingling man's word it's interwoven there. Let us make man, God said. And Nimrod said, let us make brick. Let us build a city. Let us make a name. So similar, comparing themselves to what God said. Here's what we're saying. God's word and man's words intertwined. Here we got a Bible. We got a book called the Bible. It's 100% God's word. That God used man to write the Bible, but they wrote what God's word was to write. Many years ago, we had an evangelist come to our church, and he said that if you go to the supermarket, so you go to Harps, we'll say Harps, Walmart, you go to the grocery store, and if you're buying grape juice, then on the label it will say 100% grapes. And the FDA approved them that you can put a label that says 100% grapes if it's 51%. So if it's only 51% of grapes, then because it's 51%, you can label it 100%. And so we've got all kinds of translations and all kinds of different Bibles and all kinds of new so-called God's Word in the Bible, and they don't measure up. They're different. There's something different. Two things can't be the same. And so what we've done is we've intermingled, and we're saying this is God's Word. All these versions that are out, all these translations that are out, and we've got to be very careful because God simply says in His Word, as you know, I will preserve my Word. He's promised to preserve it, keep it. And He also says we can't add to it or take away. And these Babylonians are simply springboarding off of God's word, let us make man. They said, hey, let us make brick. Let us build a city. Let us make a name for ourselves. And so these city builders are up to no good, seeking to establish their own kingdom. That's what they're doing here. And that's why one speech and one language is what is being used in an evil way instead of a good way. the overall reason to build the city and the tower is told in verse 4, let us make a name for ourselves. It's all about it. It was never about Creator God. It was never about Jehovah God. It was always about them. And God, hold it, let me just say it. God's will is not that we find joy in being praised, but God's will is that we find joy in praising Him. See, we've gotten away from praising Him. We want to praise men. We want to praise singers. We want to praise teachers. No, we got it all wrong. We're here to praise Him. He's the one that gets praise. He's the one that deserves all the praise. And so these guys was going to build this, and it simply says that verse 4, let us make a name for ourselves. These men were ambitious. Nothing wrong with being ambitious. But these men were ambitious. And that word ambition means a strong desire to achieve something. But their ambition here in chapter 11 was selfish ambition and unholy ambition. They wanted to build a stairway to heaven and obtain immortality by human effort. It was a DIY, do-it-yourself religion, and that's exactly what we see unfolded here. It was for them to make a name for themselves so that people could praise them, people could lift them up, people could exalt them, people could mention their name. And that's, again, the goal that they have here in Genesis chapter 11. So instead of praying our Father, which art in heaven, these Babylonians prayed our brothers, which are on earth. They changed it. These men blasphemed God's name with arrogance and with rebellion and with pride being the root of all these activities of building this tower. Look at verse 7. Genesis 11, verse 7. Go to, let us go down. And they're confounded in their language. And they may not understand one another's speech. And so God simply saw it, knew it, and was aware of it all along. And so God said, let us go down. The Creator God, who is omnipresent, the Creator God, who is omniscient, is simply knowing everything because He's all-knowing. And He's an all-present, all-knowing God. So He said, let us go down and see what's going on. So God has a council meeting, much like He did in Genesis 1:26, when He said, let us make man. God simply said, let us is plural. God's plural. It's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And they decided together to make man. And so here they are again. They come down from heaven to observe what's going on earth here. And so they have this council meeting in heaven, and the Trinity gets together. And so, hey, let us go down. Because we got to confound their language. And so it's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit that's going to come down. And Babel was bent on being their own God. And so our God is jealous of anybody that puts God in front of the real God, the true God. And so we're going to go down there for a purpose. And it says it right there in verse 7, we're going to confuse their speech. We started off talking about one language, one speech. We talked about that. A lot of good that could come out of that. We also talked about some evil that could come out of it. And so it must have been bad because God said, we're going to go down and confuse their speech in verse 7. Let us go down and confuse their language so that they cannot understand one another's speech. So some inside information for you. I see here that the next morning, a worker's up on his scaffold. They're going to build this tower to heaven. And he hollers down to the ground. And he says, hey, did y'all pass up another load of bricks? But God's confused your language. And so that old boy that had been doing that, he's just listening. He can't understand what the guy's saying. And he looks up and says, what'd you say? And he answered, ish, kick, eye, get up, yeah. Just mumbles some stuff. And the guy down there goes like, hey, what's wrong with that guy? Their language had been confounded. Their language had been confused by the real God, the Creator God, Holy God, Jehovah God. He confused their language. They couldn't understand it. God's going to put a stop to it. God's a jealous God. And if they're worshiping a false God, that's a wrong God, that's Marduk's day, and they're doing all this for Him, God gets jealous. And He comes and says, I'm going to put a stop to this. few years ago, I was asked to speak at a celebration called, you ready for this? King Sarara. King Sarara is a celebration for Latin America's culture when a young girl turns 15. Now, I had to do a lot of studying. I had to get up and do my homework. I had to figure out what that's all about. And so I had an interpreter. And so it really was like no hope. I mean, it was like they did everything. I mean, man, the girl just looked amazing. Their families looked amazing. They had decorated the place. Remember that, Cheryl? And we were there, and I was there, and I was kind of like the keynote speaker, and I didn't know what I was going to do. I just had my stuff, and I had a guy that was interpreting me. And so we were doing this celebration, and so I'd say five words, and then my interpreter would take 5 minutes to tell him what I said. I'm going like, something's wrong here. I mean, it was confusing to me. And what I said was, in my 5 words, what I said, I was just trying to be simple so I could kind of, you know, just do this. But I don't know what he was saying. I don't know if he was changing my words or adding to my words or like just saying what he wanted to say and just let me be there. I don't know. But it was confusing, and that's exactly what God did here. He confused our language. This was an act of judgment on God's part. All because the people used their unity. They're speaking one language for evil, and God cursed it with ununity. So God just has a way of intervening in it. Now hold on, just to be clear, God is never opposed to progress. So just because we did something back in the 50s at Southern Baptist churches don't mean that we still have to keep doing that. There could be progress. So God's never opposed to progress, but it has to be progress that's godly, not godless. It has to be something that honors Him. It's got to be something that lifts Him up. It's got to be something that simply exalts Him. Nimrod and company thought they were so powerful and so intelligent and so creative and so supreme that they could do what no one else could ever do. And they became independent. Is what they did. And they forgot that God is sovereign and God's all knowing and God's all powerful and God simply is in control over all things. They forgot that. Their God's not like that. The real God is. And He's the only one like that. Now let me close real quick. In verse 9 it says, therefore, its name was called Babel. And the Lord scattered them all over the face of the earth. See, what these know-it-alls, these supreme smarties, these tyrants, you see, what they most desired would have destroyed them. Oh, let us stay in Shinar. Let us dwell here. Let us settle here. Let us be in charge here. That would have destroyed them. What they desired would have destroyed them, and what they most dreaded would be their deliverance. See, God knows. God's in control. God understands what the future is. We just dream about the future. And so just to be clear, as I close, let me give you the three things just shortly that they did. Number one, their disobedience. It all started with just the little word disobey. Adam and Eve disobeyed. Got evicted from the Garden of Eden. They didn't murder. They didn't do all the wicked things that we think you do. And they just disobeyed pretty bad. And that's exactly what these Babylonians, they simply settled in Shinar after God commanded them to scatter. And so, number one, they disobeyed. Number two, we see their depravity. They followed their sin nature, much like Adam and Eve. And they said, we'll decide for our their depravity, their disobedience. Thirdly, their defiance. Let us build. Let us make brick. Let us make a name for ourselves. You see, their defiance was to never mention the true God. Their defiance was, it's about us. It's called humanism. They lived up humanism. They're egomaniacs strutting themselves in front of the world and leaving God out. And so we have their defiance. We have their depravity. We have their disobedience. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 8, it says, "Forth the trumpet, give an uncertain sound. Who shall prepare for battle?" In those days, they had a trumpet that would sound a charge. Everybody understood that sound. Everybody was on the same page. Everybody understood that when that charge sound went, hey, we're in a battle and we got a charge. They also understand surrender or retreat. That trumpet would make another sound that would let them know that, hey, it's time to come back. It's time to retreat. It's time to surrender. It's time to... So with that in mind, it says, "For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare for battle?" So we understand it when it comes from that point of view. So we, pastor, we teachers, we as leaders, we as children of God, then we have to be correct. We have to be concise. We have to be consistent in our communications. It has to line up with Scripture. The final authority is the Bible. It's not Southern Baptists. It's not Scranton Baptist Church. It's not the pastor, Don Bradford. We have to be correct and concise and consistent in what we say. And it has to. We have to follow Scripture. The Bible says that you follow a man as he follows God's word. So God's word is the supreme authority. And so that's our job. And so God has a purpose and a plan and a position for you and I and for his children. And we are to simply make our decisions on his word, his will, his wisdom. Adam and Eve didn't do it. Nimrod, the Babylonians, didn't do it. Cain didn't do it. A lot of people today don't do it. And so the real takeaway is that we are to follow the Lord. Follow his word. His word will never let you down. Let's pray. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. One speech, one language, for the purpose of lifting up man. There will be one language and one speech for the purpose of lifting up the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what our goal is. That's what we've been mandated to do, commanded to do, instructed to do. Lift his name up. Father in heaven, we pray this morning, Lord, that you just take the message and apply it to our lives and our hearts. We think about Nimrod and his group. They were anxious. They were ambitious. And Father, they worked hard. They had big deeds. They had big challenges. They overcame strong obstacles, Lord, and for nothing. It was all void. You came to confuse our language, put a stop. So I pray, Lord, this morning that you'd allow us just to rededicate our lives in our pews where we are, Lord, to just honoring you and lifting you up. And Father, just exalting the name that's above everything in our lives. Give us direction through Scripture, through our Sunday school teachers, through Bible study, Lord, through preaching of your word. Give us maybe our quiet time and our devotions, Lord. Just give us the words that you'd have us for our lives, our hope, our families, our decisions. Father, for that, we'll thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand. The room is going to lead us in an invitation this morning. If God's spoken to you and you have a decision in your heart, we'd love to pray with you. We can help you. You come this morning. He must decrease. He must increase. We must decrease. It's all about him. It's all about our Heavenly Father. The Lord Jesus Christ, who gave his life to us, to deliver him. Amen.
never felt alone.
So once again, thank you for your great attention. It's always a privilege.